Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tilaknagar Industries Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tilaknagar Industries Limited's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. We are joined today by Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Amit Dhanorkar, President, Strategy and Corporate Development, Amay Deshpande, and Chief Financial Officer of the company, Mr. Abhinav Gupta. We shall commence with views from Mr. Dhanorkar on the strategic performance and Mr. Deshpande on the financial highlights. This shall be followed by an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we commence, I would like to state that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been circulated to you and is also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to request Mr. Dhanorkar to make his opening remarks. Over to you.
I am pleased to share that Q3 FY2025 has been another period of strategic progress and consistency in earnings growth for Tilaknagar Industries. The volume performance, excluding Andhra Pradesh, was on expected lines. Excluding Andhra, our primary volumes in Q3 grew by 10%, indicating strong growth in our other states, especially the southern states, which grew 11% over the same period. AP volumes were impacted due to transition on account of the new route to market in the state. Despite degrowth in primary volumes, secondary volumes in Andhra Pradesh grew at 8%, indicating strong brand equity for our products. We believe that this period of transition in Andhra is over and is reflected by the fact that we have started Q4 on a very strong note, having grown primary volumes by 14% in January 2025 on year-on-year basis. We now expect to continue this growth momentum going forward. On the NSR front, we had to take a price correction in Andhra Pradesh in order to maintain our competitive position in the state. While the price reduction came through in the last week of November 2024, we had sufficient stocks lying in depots across the state, with a view that we did not want to impact movement of the stock, which was at a higher price point. We took a one-time call to reprice all the stock which was sitting in the depots. Hence, while the price reduction approval came only at the end of November, the impact of the price reduction has been seen for more than 2 months of Q3. This also had an impact on volumes due to operational challenges of changing price of stock sitting in the depots. In terms of our other key states, we saw Karnataka grow by more than 20% year-on-year, with Q3 registering highest ever quarterly volumes in the state. Puducherry and Kerala have also seen very strong growth of mid-teens. We also saw significant market share outperformance in Telangana, where the IMFL industry was almost flat in Q3. We have now expanded our market share in the state to 7.4% compared to 6.8% in FY24. Moving on to the revenues for the quarter, we witnessed a revenue degrowth on account of the above-mentioned price correction in Andhra, which can be seen from the reduction in NSR per case, as shown in our earnings presentation. Despite this, our EBITDA grew by 17% on the back of more efficient selling and distribution spends, as well as cost optimizations undertaking in packing materials. In terms of our profitability, we have reported a healthy EBITDA, both in absolute terms and on margins. Our EBITDA margin for Q3 FY25 stood at 17.7%. Going forward, we expect our EBITDA margins to remain strong and trend in the zone of 15.5 to 17.5% on the back of continued investments in ANSP. On the debt front, I am happy to share that in Q3, we have reduced our gross debt by Rs. 47 crores. This reduction in gross debt was predominantly on account of full repayment of Kotak Bank term loan. Our aggregate gross debt now stands at Rs. 45 crores, with net cash balance of rupees 31 crores. I will now speak a little on the IMFL industry and the trends which we have been seeing. India continues to see headroom for higher alcohol-based consumption, with significant innovation taking place both in spirits as a category and other allied products. There is a burgeoning cocktail culture which we are witnessing, especially with a large number of legal drinking age population being added every year. Premiumization remains a key driver across all IMFL categories, with at-home consumption aiding the growth even post the pandemic. TI's portfolio reflects these trends with brands across price ladder and brandy as well as other categories. I will highlight few of our recent initiatives for everyone's benefit today. A key highlight of the quarter was the successful launch of Monarch Legacy Edition, our first luxury brandy. Monarch blends French grape spirits aged up to 8 years in French oak casks with premium Indian grape spirits from Maharashtra's Sahyadri region. This introduction into luxury aligns with our goal to elevate the perception of brandy in India. The early response has been encouraging, reinforcing the vast potential for luxury brandy in the country. Currently launched in Maharashtra and international markets, we are excited to soon introduce Monarch in Goa, Karnataka and Puducherry. Our prestige and above portfolio continues to gain traction, validating our price laddering strategy for brandy. The premium segment within the CNB family portfolio has grown further, a trend we expect to continue as consumers seek more premium options. Flandy, our flavored brandy offering, is resonating well with a broader consumer base, positioning brandy as a versatile beverage suitable for various occasions. On the non-brandy front, Mansion House Whiskey in Assam has continued to gain strong traction, performing well in the semi-premium segment with expanding consumer acceptance. The brand is leveraging our distribution network to strengthen its presence in key whiskey consuming markets. We now also expect to kickstart sales of Samsara Gin and Sitara Rum in quarter 4 on the back of our usership agreement with Spaceman Spirits Lab. On its own, SSL has seen very strong growth in quarter 3 and has gained market share within the overall premium gin industry in most of the states it's present in. With softening cost pressures on raw materials and packaging, our premiumization strategy is expected to continue to support margins. While we remain vigilant about ENA price trends, the overall cost environment has been favorable, strengthening our profitability outlook. In terms of our CapEx plans, while maintenance CapEx will range between rupees 15 to 20 crores, we are exploring making an investment amounting to around 35 to 50 crores for the expansion of our own unit in Andhra Pradesh, housed in our wholly owned subsidiary, Prague Distillery Private Limited. This investment is being considered on the back of the strong growth we expect for our brands in the state. This investment will enable us to expand our capacity from around 6 lakh cases per annum to 36 lakh cases per annum. We expect to have significant operating savings by bottling in our own unit. The additional volumes, over and above what would be met by Prague, would be handled by our existing contractual units. Looking ahead, we remain confident in sustaining our growth momentum, both on volume as well as profitability front, supported by strong brand and product strategy and disciplined financial management. With that, I will now hand it over to Ameya to provide an overview of our operational and financial performance.
Thank you, and a very warm welcome to everyone joining us today. I will walk you through our financial and operational highlights for Q3 FY25. Our revenue for Q3 stood at rupees 340 crores with underlying volume growth of 2.3%. If we exclude the RTM impact in Andhra, the volume growth during Q3 stood at 10% YOY. And as Mr. Dhanukar mentioned earlier, this further accelerated in January 2025 to 14% year-on-year. Revenue for the first 9 months stood at 1,028 crores and the NSR per case was at 1161 in Q3. This level is a departure from the growth trend we have seen in the recent past owing to the changes in the RTM in AP. However, we expect to grow our NSR on the back of our continued premiumization strategies on this base. Q3 also saw us delivering our highest ever EBITDA. EBITDA for the quarter grew 17% YOY to rupees 60 crores, supported by ongoing cost optimization efforts as well as efficient levels of S&D expenses. EBITDA margins expanded by 408 basis points to 17.7% on the back of lower NSR and reduced S&D expenses. For the first 9 months of FY25, EBITDA reached 176 crores with margins at 17.2%, marking an expansion of 390 basis points. Adjusting for the subsidy income, EBITDA for 9 months stood at 161 crores at a margin of 15.9%. Similarly, PAT increased by 23% to Rs. 54 crores in Q3, up from 44 crores last year. For the first 9 months, PAT grew to Rs. 152 crores, marking an increase of 50% compared to the same period last year. Operationally, while Q3 FY25 saw primary volume degrowth in AP, secondary volumes grew 8% in the state. And as Mr. Dhanukar mentioned earlier, we have seen initial signs of growth trajectory returning to normal. Additionally, we are also happy to share that TI market share as percentage of overall IMFL in its key southern states has now increased to 6.2% in quarter 3 from 5.8% as was seen in FY24. Before I close the opening remarks, I would like to reiterate that we remain committed to delivering profitable growth, reinforcing our market leadership and driving innovation within the Indian alcohol sector as we seek to align ourselves to the emerging consumption trends. With that, I would now request the operator to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on RM. On RM, you mentioned that it is likely to be soft, and you did say that ENA we have to be watchful. So if you could tell us for each of your key raw materials in FY26, how do you see, do you think that those will be soft on an overall basis, including ENA? What will be your views on each of the components?
Hi, Abneesh. Thanks for your question. So see, for the moment, we are assuming that ENA would range in this region. We haven't taken any kind of reduction on ENA prices currently. But our expectation is that it shouldn't be highly inflationary going forward.
What about glass and other raw materials? Packaging, glass?
So they will be stable, Avnish. We've already seen some level of correction in glass prices over the past few quarters. We haven't factored in any further savings on that front.
Sure. You did comment on Andhra market. Now in Andhra market, other liquor players have seen good revival. And you also had a challenging time there. You have also rationalized the price. So the price rationalization impact, will it continue in coming quarters also? And if you could tell us what has changed, was it because you were already doing business there? So for you, the incremental changes were negative. And for the national players in the, say, whiskey, etc., it was on the positive side. Whiskey and beer both, it was on the positive side.
So I will respond to this question, Avnish. I think the one-time price correction which we had to do in line with competition, that has already been effected. And the reason we saw the volume degrowth in Andhra Pradesh was account of the transition, which I have explained in the opening remarks. Going forward, we do expect it to bounce back. I think the overall industry also has grown from an average of 28 to 29 lakhs. Last 2 months, December and January, the industry itself has averaged at around 34 lakhs. And we are maintaining our market share. Importantly, we are maintaining our market share even with the advent of more players in this field. We are still able to protect our market share. So I think we are on a very strong wicket now, and as the industry grows, we will be in a good position to benefit from this.
So two quick follow-up. One is in terms of competition, so is your pricing post the price cut now at par with the competition, and the transition impact is done and dusted?
Yes, the transition impact is now behind us. It was almost a 1.5 transition period which we had to undergo, which resulted in some primary volume degrowth. The second question which I had to respond to is that in terms of the brandy saliency also, it has not changed. In Andhra Pradesh also, the brandy saliency is roughly retained at around 35%. So even post advent of other players in whiskey category, the brandy saliency, at least the last 3-4 months post RTM change from October, has roughly remained the same.
And Abneesh, just one more data point on top of that, right? In Andhra, we actually closed out the quarter very strongly, right? So our market share in Andhra in December was almost 11.5%, right? This is more than even our pre-transition market shares in the state. So obviously, Q3 had an impact of October and November, but starting December, when anyway secondaries were decent, we did pretty well, and January onwards, we've seen decent movement on primaries as well.
One understanding I wanted here was now national whiskey players and maybe beer players are also very active there. So consumer essentially has more choice, and consumer doesn't remain married to one segment. If he has more choices, he's very happy to sample. So here, just 3 months data, you are saying brandy is stable. Is that too early to call that out? And second will be in terms of the market share. This market share data, which market share data is it? Is it something which is a third-party data you are referring to?
No, this is corporation-given data, volume data. This is on
Authentic data.
Yeah. This is on secondary volumes.
And could you comment?
Even from 2014 to 2019, roughly the brandy saliency has remained same. I mean, even when the whiskey segment was very active, the saliency has remained same.
Understood. Last quick question. Karnataka has done well for you. So if you could talk about why you have gained market share there, and has there been any change in the competition there?
So Karnataka, one of the primary drivers was that the excise duty was reduced on premium products, which led to a price correction. And the price correction has helped us and has enabled us to deliver strong volume growth in Karnataka.
How much was the price correction? Could you tell us at your portfolio level?
So we reduced, talking about our NIP pricing, right, 180 ml, from 257 rupees, this came down to 235 rupees.
Yeah. And this was on account only of excise duty reduction. There was no reduction in ex-factory or EDP price of the company. The reduction was primarily driven or wholly driven by reduction in the excise duty by the government.
Sure, thanks. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Vishal Gutka from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi team, Vishal here. I just wanted to check what is the quantum of blended price correction in Andhra Pradesh that they have taken, and shall it impact the margins for balance 1 year given that recent price correction has been undertaken?
So the price correction in Andhra blended level on a state basis would be around 200 rupees reduction.
Okay. In percentage term, it would be what in that specific market?
So earlier the price was somewhere, to be very frank, we don't provide statewide EDPs, right, NSRs.
Right.
What I can speak is on an overall basis, right, so as you would have seen in Q1 or rather in Q2, our NSR was around 1270, right, so that is the impact, and assuming around 30% of our total volumes are driven by Andhra, you can kind of get a sense.
Got it. This should have an impact on margins for balance 12 months given the price correction will flow through for next 12 months. Although you are in expansion mode, but slight that margin could moderate from here onwards expansion because at least for next 12 months, I agree that
premiumization trends have been continuing and commodity costs have been in, but because of this action, could be moderation in margin gains that we could see for next 4 quarters?
So, see, the thing is, the moderation in margin, so this refers to the guidance that Mr. Dhanukar also provided in the opening remarks, right? While we did do 17.7% in Q3, we don't expect to maintain that 17.7%, to be very frank. We are, the guidance that we are giving is in the range of 15.5 to 17.5, with a slight bias towards the higher end of the range.
Got it. And my one most strategic question is that most of the mainstream liquor companies, they are trying to foray into various new segments like gin, rum, vodka. Just wanted to check from you, just wanted to get your thoughts on how easy or difficult it is to make a brand. And given that in FMCG industry, we have seen that brand creation is very, very difficult. And if you can just broadly throw the light, what is the secret sauce if one needs to build a brand in a different category? Or a premium brand, what do you call in the brandy category? Broader thoughts, I think, would be really helpful. Thank you.
No, so I think, see, the thing is that from a gin perspective, right, we have already backed an existing trending gin, right, in the form of Samsara. So at least on that front, we are fairly clear that it is something, there are certain categories that we would like to do on our own, but certain categories that we believe that there is some amazing work being put in by some young founders that we want to back, right? So Samsara is a part of that. The benefit of investing in a company like Samsara is the fact that it already has a significant brand equity, right? Today you think of a gin, and if there is a Fing gin anyone wants to have, it is a Samsara Fing gin. There's no other out there, right? Despite the fact that there are some brands which are providing a Fing gin. So that is more from a strategic, investment perspective. Obviously, at our end, when we look to drive any kind of organic growth with new brands coming in, the clear differentiator or the clear identifier over here is the market size, right, and the opportunity that exists out there. And what does it add to the overall, in the overall scheme of things for Tilak Nagar Industries? So, to be very frank, is there any secret sauce? Well, I can't tell you, otherwise it won't be a secret anymore. But that's about it.
Got it. I just want to check broadly, this is more about the recipe, distribution, broader thoughts. What drives is the product differentiation versus other products available in the market? So is the distribution strength that you have, or so what are the key modes that are there for a brand to get achieve successful strike rate?
So I think distribution is a key part, right, in today's times. And that is exactly the reason why we have come up with Mansion House Whiskey in the semi-premium segment. It is a highly competitive segment, but at the same time, it is a very large segment, 50 million odd cases strong, right? So from that perspective, given our distribution strengths in southern India as well as in east, we do believe that there is a decent play. So distribution will play a very important role. Along with that, obviously, I think in today's times, especially on the premium side of the products, while the blend is extremely important, so is the packaging around it, right? So, and the communication that goes around it as well. So just a couple of aspects that we do keep an eye on when we take any calls on organic growth.
Got it. Last question from my side. Do you expect any more favorable regulatory tailwinds? I think recent article was there that Karnataka is thinking of increasing the number of liquor shops because I think it's been a while since they've increased the number of liquor shops. Similarly, in Kerala, I think some movement is happening. Just wanted to pick up your brains. Anything that you have noted that any favorable tailwinds are possible? Or many more, because Andhra we have seen, but in the five seasons still in which you operate, maybe. Any possible tailwinds?
Well, I'll not be able to react on specific states, but overall, if I had to give some broad indications, I do expect that there will be more states which will take cues from maybe, if I had to name states, maybe UP and Andhra Pradesh, which have been progressive in their outlook towards the trade. And when UP, the example is that in 7 to 8 years, almost the revenue of government has grown from 15,000 crores to 60,000 crores. A lot of new brands have come and market also has expanded. So I'm sure that overall also there will be more states adopting progressive policies like UP and AP, which will be beneficial to the company in the longer term.
Got it. Thank you. Wishing you the best. And sir, just wanted to check the 14% growth in brandy that you're in Andhra Pradesh. Do you expect similar volumes to continue in Andhra, right? Post the RTM
initiative. 14% was on overall basis for the company, what I mentioned for the month of January 2025.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Rishabh Garg from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we have had EBITDA margins improved due to reduced S&D spends, right? So I wanted to understand, right, what are the reasons, like how did the reduction happen and how sustainable it is? Also, how does this S&D spend reduce impact the brand building and product awareness? Since I think Tilaknagar spends really less in such activities versus other IMFL players, right, who are more risky focused. So how do you think about this?
So, hi Rishabh, I think since we came to know that there will be a price correction which we will undertake in the state of AP due to competitive intensity and in order to maintain our leadership position, we took a call to efficiently manage our S&D expenses so that our margins don't get hit. However, as we have always maintained that we are the key leader in the brandy industry, and the voice of brandy is something which we should carry forward as a leading player in the brandy category. We expect that these expenses will increase in future, and hence, as Mr. Amit Dhanukar has given the guidance, that our EBITDA guidance will be in the range of 15.5 to 17.5 going forward in future.
Also, you know, can you give some insights on the marketing spends? Right? What is going to be your incremental strategy for it? As well as, you know, how much as a percentage of revenue and maybe some tentative absolute amount that you would like to spend in the whole FY25. Because, you know, I was reading your FY25 annual report, and you have clubbed sales, promotion and advertising expenses in selling expenses, and total was 281 CR. So I was not able to understand how much you are spending on the marketing and advertising.
So Rishabh, as we've mentioned earlier as well, our ANSP reinvestment rates are fairly low compared to our peers, right? So our ANSP reinvestment rates range anywhere between 1 to 1.5, 1.7%, right? Depending upon the quarter. We end up doing more ANSP spends during the peak seasons as such, right? So that is the range that I can provide you in terms of what is the bifurcation between the selling and distribution and ANSP.
Okay, and this is of net revenue or gross revenue?
Net revenue.
Okay.
But having said that, going forward, we do expect to increase this, right? So also one of the reasons why we are guiding towards a slightly lower EBITDA margin than what we've seen in Q3. A part of that is also to do with us reinvesting in ANSP.
So, you know, can you share details about the incremental strategy for marketing, right? Like on which kind of marketing spend you would like to, you know, deploy the money, right? Some insights on that.
So we do a lot of BTL as well as ATL kind of activities, right? You would have seen the campaigns that we have come out with, whether it is Welcome the Now or a Warm Welcome, as well as a certain TV, mini TV series that we have been associated with. Right, so those are the kind of ATL activities that we do undertake. The reason for undertaking these activities is, like Abhinav mentioned earlier, to give a voice to brandy. Right, we've all been very accustomed to seeing a lot of these kind of campaigns or activities from whiskey players, but never from a brandy player. So that is something that, in order to bring in a more aspirational quotient to the category, right? ATL is something that we end up doing. Also, below the line activities is something that we have focused on pretty significantly, especially in the state of Telangana and as well as Assam with Mansion House Whiskey, right? So these, depending upon the product and the kind of segment and category that we deal in, we do undertake certain BTL activities as well. And frankly, when we guide towards a higher
reinvestment on ANSP, we are guiding towards both, on both the fronts.
Got it. You know, also I want to understand, what do you think about export potential? As well as any limitation we have there on the part of using Mansion House brand, since we only have rights in India for the Mansion House brand. What do you think about that?
So the export market is, fairly robust for us. We have grown quite nicely in this current year. In fact, entire volume which we had done the previous year, we have completed in 9 months itself. So overall, we see good traction on the export business, particularly in African markets, Middle East, Southeast Asia, and also new brands which we are having, like, for example, the Monarch Legacy Edition. The first market where we launched Monarch was exports before it was even introduced in the civil market.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of limitations do we have, right? Because, you know, we only have rights in India for the Mansion House brand, as per my understanding. Can you tell about that? Like, do we have such limitations outside, let's say, in Africa? Like, can we sell the Mansion House brand there?
Can you repeat your question, please? What were you saying?
Yeah. So, as per my understanding, we only have rights in India for the Mansion House brand, right? So, do we have any limitations, like selling Mansion House brand in Africa or somewhere else?
So, wherever we are selling, we are registered. So, I would not like to comment anything more than that.
Absolutely fine, sir.
Really sorry to interrupt, but maybe request you to rejoin the queue as there are several participants waiting their turn.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunny from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Amit and Amya. This is Madhu Kela here. And congratulations on continued good performance. My question was more strategic in nature. As we see, the company will have a few hundred crore rupees of cash over the next 2 to 3 years. What is the intent? You know, how do you want to deploy this cash? Would you get into other categories? How will this cash be deployed? And the second question on the Andhra Pradesh, even though you have clarified, for my benefit, these sales and distribution cost have come down significantly in the last quarter. Is this sustainable going forward?
Yeah, Madhu, I think first question, I think it's a good question. I think you are right. As we go forward, since we have virtually no debt, companies debt free, whatever EBITDA we make, we are converting to cash. We don't have any tax also, not in this current year, and not expected to have in this the following year as well. 25, 26 also, we don't expect tax. So large part, or rather all part of the EBITDA, is going to be converted into free cash, other than what we would need for incremental working capital. So there would be essentially two avenues. One would be to grow our existing business organically, which we have been doing. And I think January is an indication where, you know, the growth is around 15%. So we expect to grow our existing business, the brandy portfolio in the existing states. All the states are showing encouraging signs. I think even sans AP also, our growth was in double digit. And now with AP, with the route to market stabilizing, we expect good growth in Andhra Pradesh as well. We are expanding categories, as we have mentioned in the earlier call. Mansion House Whiskey was launched in Assam in the northeastern territory, and it is off to a stable start. We will now, Mansion House Whiskey, we will bring it to the southern states, where we already have a strong distribution presence and a strong network. So we will intend to leverage the strength of Mansion House Brandy and our existing product portfolio to build whiskey brand as well. So that is as far as the organic opportunities are concerned. And yes, we will remain open to inorganic opportunities as well in terms of our participation in the Samsara brand. We have 20%, and we have a pathway towards increasing our stake also eventually. So as the brand grows, now we have a royalty arrangement in place where we are selling Samsara and our existing stakes and also exporting it. So it will be both organic and inorganic. And the last question regarding the sales and distribution expenses, you had the question was whether it is sustainable. So yes, the answer is that yes, it is sustainable. I think the current levels which we are, they would be sustainable going forward.
Amit, sorry to hop on the same question again. I can't figure out in my head that few hundred crore rupees can be absorbed into our current strategy. Even we have done our numbers based on after incremental working capital also, you will be left with 200 crore rupees of cash. So what my point is that is there any framework to do acquisitions going forward? The Samsara acquisition was a good acquisition. So will we adopt the same strategy of acquiring smaller companies and growing big, or you are also open to make some larger acquisitions and leverage the balance sheet?
So, Madhu, I think my response would be, whatever strategy we adopt, it would be a financial prudent strategy, what we feel would be in the best interest of the stakeholders for the long term in terms of delivering value for them. I think we will take these calls as a company, as an organization, as management. We continuously evaluate opportunities to grow the business, expand the business, both product-wise and through geographic distribution as well. So tactical acquisitions, we certainly remain open to. I hope that addressed your question. I think more in terms of distribution of the surplus cash, I think that would be more of a board decision, and we don't have a formal policy in place, but we will address that question as well.
Thank you, Amit. That was useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Yashavardhan Vanka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand where are we currently on the acquisition of UN talks with, I think, the Imperial Blue. So if you could just throw some light on that.
So I have made, I think, comment before to Mr. Kela's question also in terms of being open to acquisitions, which I have clarified that technically, even though the company evaluates opportunities on an ongoing basis, and if it fits in with the long-term vision of the company in terms of the product portfolio and the approach, we are open to evaluating opportunities. Of course, managing the balance sheet prudently would be of paramount importance. So to specific opportunities, we would not be able to comment. Of course, if there's anything meaningful, we would be, of course, intimating the exchanges and the shareholders at the appropriate time.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Darshika Khemka from AV FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions, sir. Firstly, in the last quarter, you'd mentioned about tax incidence starting from Q1. What would be the expected rate of this tax incidence?
So I think we had guided for that either we may have tax incident from first quarter of next year, which would be at a normal rate of 25%. However, having said that, as you are aware that we had a search operation from IT department last year on February 2, and subsequent to that, we have received orders for various years except AY24-25. So once we receive all the orders, we will be in a position to better comment on that, and maybe by next quarter call, we should be able to give you a precise guidance.
So for now, we assume 25%?
Yeah, sure, you can assume that for the time being, yeah.
Secondly, what is the CAPEX guidance for FY26 and where will this be used, and what will be the full potential from this CAPEX that we can achieve, and when will this be achieved?
So in terms of the maintenance CAPEX, I have already guided for a maintenance CAPEX for approximately 20 crores for the next year. There might be a potential investment which we are exploring of around 50 crores for the expansion of our own unit in Andhra Pradesh, which is a Prague distillery, which would entail expanding our capacity from 6 lakh cases to 36 lakh cases per annum.
Okay. And what will be the full revenue potential of this?
it would be consolidated. Currently, we are bottling with outside contract units, but since it is our key state and we are expecting that AP industry might grow in quite significantly, we are exploring that we might expand in our own distillery itself, so that we are not much dependent on other contract units, and as well as it will give us savings in terms of bottling charges which we give to other units.
Okay, so the revenue may not be there may not be as much incremental revenue, but there will be an advantage on the margins.
Yeah, on a consolidated basis, there will be no revenue as such, but it will result in improvement in margins.
Got it. Thirdly, we've received subsidy of around 16 crores YTD for the 9 months. Do we expect any more subsidy coming in the fourth quarter? And what is the guidance for subsidy for FY26?
So we do expect further subsidy to be received in the quarter four, but it will be difficult at this point to quantify the amount.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also, I had a question that we have launched. I joined the call a little late. I'm sorry, this question was asked earlier. But we have sort of partnered with Samsara Gin. Like, I made an acquisition. Why did we not follow similar strategy for whiskey as well? I mean, why did we go in-house in terms of making our own whiskey or our own brand?
No, so the thing over here is that firstly, Samsara was an opportunity which came pretty early on in our entire thought process of strategic investments, right? While we have been, as Mr. Dhanukar has also mentioned earlier, we keep looking at interesting opportunities, and whiskey obviously is one of them as well. But having said that, it's also a function of the price point at which we want to look at inorganic investments, right? Especially on this front, Samsara is a craft product, okay? And these smaller acquisitions that we do look at, we are looking at more of startups which are in the craft space, right, and not in the mass space as such. So and given the fact that Mansion's whiskey is a semi premium whiskey, there was no point in and we anyways had that brand, right? It's not that it was something that we were starting from scratch. We had that brand. It was a refresh that we did and launched it in Assam. So it was a pretty quick turnaround in terms of a launch in the space. But just to reiterate, we do keep looking at interesting opportunities, and as and when something interesting does come up, we are not averse to looking at something in whiskey as well.
Okay. That's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Aditya Singh from Multibagger Stocks. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
I had a couple of questions. First question was on the, could you please quantify the amount of sale that we made in Andhra Pradesh?
We have given rough guidance that Andhra is approximately 30% of our overall portfolio.
30% of your overall portfolio, okay. And the second question is, despite the reduction in ENA prices, I do not see much change in the results. Is there any particular reason for that?
Despite reduction in?
ENA, extra neutral alcohol, one of the raw materials.
No, there hasn't been any significant reduction in ENA for this quarter. In fact, the reduction on the COG side has been on the packing material side, but not on the raw material side.
Okay. And well, the last question, if you could provide me with the revenue guidance for FY26.
So we are looking at mid to high teens kind of growth in terms of revenue.
Okay, thank you so much. Wish you all the best for your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, A reminder to participants, you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So, you know, we know that you have a usership agreement for Samsara, right? But how are we growing the revenues of Bartisans? Like, what is the synergy plan? Some granular insights on how are we Bartisans is benefiting as well as how TilakNagar is benefiting. Something on that.
Yeah. So see, the entire intent with Bartisans of the investment in Bartisans was the fact that it is a superior priced cocktail mixer, right, with strong unit economics. So obviously, as they keep growing their business on the D2C front as well as quick commerce, we are looking from our perspective, we are also looking at entering into collaborations to develop mixers for brandy. As you would know, in today's times, any mixer company that you look at or think about, even going to any restaurant, right, you would have a cocktail menu, but when you look at the cocktails which are a part of that menu, you will not see too many brandy drinks. There will be certain cognac drinks, but beyond that, not too many, right? So we want to change the way people look at brandy, the consumption patterns as well. Around brandy, the kind of demographic, as well as bringing a more aspirational and fun element to the category, and that is where the entire Bartisans situation came around, and we did it right.
Okay, so for Samsara, right? What is the founder's take there? If you can share.
So after our entire commitment that we made right now, we will own 20% of the company, right? In addition to that, we also obviously have the usership agreement that even you alluded to. But as a part of our definitive agreements, we do have a part to increase our stake on the basis of progress that the company makes.
So I think what is the founder's stake in Samsara?
So the founder owns 60% plus of the company.
Excellent. Good skin in the game. Also, yeah. You know, the capex that we are doing in Prague, can you share some details on the incremental savings and how much we are saving in terms of bottling charges? Some raw numbers, right? Which tells about the ROI or the payback for the 50 CR, in case it is possible to share.
So as I had mentioned before, we are at a preliminary stage where we are exploring the possibility. We are not in position to say definitely whether we will be going ahead. So we are in evaluating the opportunity.
Okay. But when you evaluate, like the ROI or payback, which you try to achieve, like some, you will be having some number, right? Internal key, it should cross
the threshold. 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. All right. And, you know, just one last question from my side. You know, as the company expands, right, we have around 1,000 CR plus revenue of market cap. What is the plan for appointing a bigger audit firm, right? Preferably a Big Four or a well-known Indian mid-sized firm who have experience in the alcohol sector.
I think our current auditors have a term for 3 years. So once that tenure is over, we will definitely explore the appointment of some other auditor.
So the term is going to get over in which year?
So last year it has been extended for 3 years, so 28.
27.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Wonderful entry.
Thank you. Next question is from Marcel, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello. Yeah, my question is very important. In the financial result announced by the company, there is no provision for income tax. At the same time, on 1st of February, the company has made a disclosure that they have received the assessment from the income tax department till assessment year 2023-24 means age of 31-3-2023 financial year. And in that disclosure, it mentioned that the department has made some disallowance and some added back. So can you please tell us that how much amount they have disallowed and how much they have amount added there in the assessment, number one. Number two, means in the same question that as per your disclosure, the carry forward losses and the including another depreciation is 95.15 crore. It's 95 crore as on March 31st, 2023. So if the unabsorbed loss is only 95 crore, then means like which is already like if you see the profitability of the, for example, last year we made a profit of 138 crore. So there is already offset in the last year itself in the 2023-24. On the top of this year we have made a 9 month profit of 152 crore. So why the company has not made any tax provision? Because 95 crore is like, I guess 95 crore carry forward losses till 31/3/2023. Subsequent to that, in the last 21 months, like last full year and the last and this 9 months, in the 21 months we have made a profit of almost 248 crore rupees. So why the tax code has not been bad?
Hello. So yeah. with respect to the search operation, we have received the orders till AY 23-24 itself, but not for AY 24-25. So once we receive the order, then accordingly we will be able to take a call as to how much tax provision, if any, needs to be made.
No sir, like my question is that, like, first please reply to my question that how much amount they have disallowed and added back till assessment day 2023-24.
So
I think what we have stated, we have already given the disclosure, which is already up for shareholder viewing. Beyond that, we don't want to make any specific remark.
No, sir. Like in the disclosure, that is like inadequate. You didn't specify how much amount they added back. You have just like mentioned only 95 crore rupees. On the top of this, in the last 21 months, 248 crore company has earned before profit before tax. And then on the top of this, The assessment of financial year 2023-24, that is assessment year 2024-25, is immaterial, because age of 31/3/2023, the unabsorbed depreciation and the carry forward losses already crystallized to 95 crore. So means in 2024-25 also, assessment year also, the department is not going to like to make you some more allowance. It will only disallow, so it will further reduce your carry forward losses. So the company company must have created the provision, number one. Number two, now the company has shifted to the new tax regime, like 25.15%, or it is still going under the old tax rate.
For the tax purpose, we have already, as we have mentioned in the intimation to the stock exchange also, we have already decided to go in appeal against the order. So that is the first point. The second point is that since we have already not received the last year order, once we receive that order, then we will be able to specify as to what could be the tax going forward. So we would like to restrict our response to that.
Thank you. Next question is from Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I've joined a little bit late. So, again, harping on AP. First, this price reduction, has the full quarter impact came, or there will be some more impact which will flow through in Q4 FY25?
So, Himanshu, the impact of the price reduction was felt for more than 2 months, not the entire quarter, but more than 2 months of the quarter, right? And as, unfortunately, you didn't join in the beginning, but as a part of our opening commentary, we did mention that the impact was twofold, right? One was obviously reduction in price, but because of the operational issues, actually it also had an impact on our volumes as such, on the primary front, right? So the impact was on both fronts. With regards to Q4, we expect Q4 NSR to be somewhat stable.
Okay. That's helpful. Secondly, with the opening up of the stage for national players, do we foresee any kind of a risk of shift in
in consumers from a brandy to a whiskey? Because I believe AP is a slightly brandy heavy market compared to national average. So is that a risk? And to mitigate that, will it require much higher S&D spend from our end?
Yeah, so basically, Manshu, we don't see a risk to that, right? The reason for that being that with the new RTM, we expect the industry itself to grow, right? So from that perspective, we are not seeing, and given the fact that MHB as well as our other brand, CNB, have such a strong brand equity, we don't foresee any kind of share loss. On the contrary, as I mentioned earlier as well, in the month of December, we actually expanded our market share to an all-time high in the state, right? So the impact was felt more in October and November, but actually in December, we clawed back to even better shares than earlier, right? So we don't, long story short, we don't see too much of a risk of losing market share or volumes because new entrants have come in.
Sure, that's it from my side. All the best to the team. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Himanshu.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for being a part of today's call and showing interest in our progress. I hope that we have been able to address your queries today. In case you have any pending queries, I request you to reach us at the coordinates mentioned in the presentation. Thank you very much for your time and for supporting us on our growth journey. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Tilak Nagar Industries Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.